Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Welcome to another episode of American Warrior Radio. September 11, 2001 was the largest attack on our domestic homeland since Pearl Harbor. It impacted thousands of lives and continues to do so. The attacks changed a lot of things in our lives, and it definitely changed the way several federal agencies conduct their mission. The objective of American Warrior is to educate and inform the general public about those who serve. We principally focus on the men and women of our military, the less than 1% of our population whose lives and missions were definitely impacted by 9/11. But today, on the 15th anniversary of those attacks, I thought we'd focus on a group of people whose job is protecting our homeland, not just from terrorist attacks, but also from the scourge of drugs, human trafficking, and even something I bet most of us never give a second thought to, are agricultural and food supplies. The U.S. has 7,500 miles of land borders with Mexico and Canada. Add to that another 95,000 miles of shoreline and 182 international airports. There's a cadre of men and women whose mission it is to secure these borders 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They're one of the largest law enforcement agencies in our country, more than 60,000 personnel. On a typical day, they welcome more than 1 million visitors, screen more than 67,000 cargo containers, and seize nearly 6 tons of illicit drugs. Today on American Warrior Radio, you're going to meet some of them, the men and women of Customs and Border Protection, or as they like to say, I think, the green, blue, and brown. Green and blue today, anyway. And their mission is to safeguard America's borders, thereby protecting the public from dangerous people and materials while enhancing the nation's global economic competitiveness by enabling legitimate trade and travel. Let's get right into it. We begin with two Border Patrol agents today, or green, if you will, Agent Omar Candelaria and Agent Vicente Paco. Mr. Candelaria, Mr. Paco, welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Now,
thank you.
Paco's an old pro at this. I've had him on the radio like 15 times in the last 2 weeks. But Agent Candelaria, let's begin with you. Tell us a little bit about Customs and Border Patrol. The whole point of doing this is I think many of us just don't even understand the depth of your mission and how that changed significantly after 9/11.
Absolutely. Again, thank you for having us. We appreciate the opportunity. As you know, everything changed after 9/11. You know, we saw that there was a lot of different agencies that were charged with protecting our borders, and that it was just a little bit unorganized, really, if you think about it. But so we decided, the U.S. government decided to create U.S. Customs and Border Protection. So U.S. Customs and Border Protection was born on March 1st, 2003, and it took various agencies that supported the borders protection and came into one. Some of those agencies were the Customs Service, Immigration Inspectors, Agriculture Inspectors, Border Patrol Agents, and a myriad of other specialists, like Public Affairs Specialists, Forensic Specialists, and the like, that all joined together under CBP to better secure our country.
You know, now, it's interesting when you talk about that, the history, you go way back. Customs Service goes back to 1879, Immigration Inspectors, 1891, Agricultural, 1912. The Border Patrol itself proper, the agents were first commissioned by Congress in 1924. And then Air and Marine, which we're not going to talk a lot about today. We'll talk about that in a subsequent program. They're kind of the new kid on the block. They're 2006, I think, that group was established as a division of Customs and Border Protection.
Correct. Air and Marine Operations is the newest member of CBP. They do an outstanding job in protecting our coastal and our areas, and our air assets.
Now, Agent Candelaria, I talked about just the, for someone like me, I mean, my head explodes when I talk about just the miles of borders, the amount of traffic going in and out both ways. I mean, it's a huge job. How many agents, you've got about 60,000 personnel worldwide, I guess.
Correct. CBP as a whole has over 60,000 law enforcement officers and agents that help protect our nation's boundaries.
Could you use some more help?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's what we're going to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen. If you want more information, you can visit cbp.gov/careers. We're going to talk a little bit more about the diversity of the missions and career fields. Agent Candelaria referred a little bit to that. And you'll be surprised, pleasantly surprised, at the different, you know, a lot of us think about just the agents themselves or just the customs officers at the border. But there's a huge amount of opportunities available to help continue to serve and protect our nation. Let's introduce one of those persons that's doing that on a regular basis. Again, with Green, Agent Vicente Paco drew the short straw. You know, I like to be relatively informed before I do a show, and so Customs and Border Patrol was kind enough to allow me to spend some time on patrol with Agent Paco and some of his fellow agents. So, Paco, I guess you got the short straw and had to, you know, babysit the old fat guy, huh?
Not really. It was a good experience you having you out there with us, and you know, we have a mission. You know, it is to protect our border. You got to see it firsthand. You know, we're not only protecting our border from unlawful entries, you know, as Border Patrol enforces immigration law between ports of entry. You got to see some of that activity.
I tell you, it was, you know, I consider myself a pretty informed guy, but it was just the few hours I spent with you and then another half a day with Aaron Marine, it was very enlightening. I know you can't take every U.S. citizen out to actually see the depth of the issue, but holy smokes. Right. And we'll talk a little more about the details of that, but it's interesting to me, well, all three of you in the studio here today are all three veterans. Of the, gosh, couple dozen folks I met when I was on patrol with you, I'd say all of them except for maybe one were veterans as well. Agent Paco, you're Navy, right?
Yes, sir.
When you were transitioning from the Navy, what made you think about Customs and Border Protection as your next career step?
Well, one of the things that I've always had an idea of what the Border Patrol did. You know, I grew up in a border town in California, and seeing firsthand, you know, some of the challenges that we have as a community, you know, in related to cross-border illegal activity. And, you know, I joined the Navy during this time, September 11, you know, was a tragic incident for all of us. And it definitely made me realize, you know, the difference I could make. You know, I was in school at the time. My brother was in Navy boot camp. And, you know, we were riding back and forth. And you know, at that time, I made a decision to serve our country and you know, take an opportunity to make a difference. After I got out, I had an idea of what I wanted to do. I wanted to continue to serve my country. And, the Border Patrol was something that I was highly interested on. It took me a while to get in because, you know, the hiring process has changed over the years. We do screen a lot. Any interested applicants that are listening to the radio right now that are interested in becoming a Border Patrol agent, it's a very rewarding career. It's a little bit challenging, to get through the process, and it's challenging once you, get selected to go to the academy, but it's very rewarding. You know, the pay is good. You know, we have a lot of benefits. You know, we can make a difference. You know, if there's veterans out there listening that are making a difference right now overseas or in other parts of the world, you can make a difference too here in the homeland by helping and, protect our borders.
Well, you really put your finger on it. I see this, you know, particularly in Southern Arizona or frankly, folks listening anywhere around the country or listening to the podcast here later. This is a great opportunity for people that have already shown a commitment to serving and protecting our nation.
Yes.
To take the next step. And there's, look, I've got tremendous respect for the men and women in our military. There's some advantages, I believe, that come with service, continue the service with Customs and Border Protection.
Yes.
And we'll talk a little bit more about some of those details here in a second. But, before, like I said, we're going to get into our details. It's interesting. One of the things I really enjoyed being a fan of history on the riding along, you were a tracker, a trained
yes.
tracker, and there was one incident on a hill where one of our other escorts who was not in uniform got out, and well, next thing you know, a couple of agents on horseback came up just to check it out to make sure he
right.
was the right person on that side of the border. So it was kind of like an old west feel, but you also use a lot of high technology as well. Don't
right.
you? I mean, you need those disciplines as well.
Exactly. So every agent that is out patrolling in the field is trained to do sign cutting and tracking. You know, sign cutting is looking for any disturbances on the ground, you know, or, you know, in the brush. If we see a pattern of somebody walking through a certain area, then we're going to investigate. And we have technology out there that allows us to do our job. You know, we have camera technology, we have radar technology, and some of the technology and the common operating pictures that we operate, it's similar to what the military has seen. So there's a lot of trades that are within the military that it can carry on to becoming a Border Patrol agent. But ultimately, you know, the technology in some areas is limited by the terrain and by the weather. So we must rely on our basic trainings and our basic abilities to be able to follow footprints and disturbances on the ground.
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Ben Bueller Garcia here on American Warrior. We're talking about protecting the homeland with some men and women of the Customs and Border Protection Service. We'll be right back. Stick around. Great show here on American Warrior on the anniversary of September 11th.
Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back to American Warrior, folks. Your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking on the anniversary of September 11th. We're talking about those who protect the homeland. And we're joined in studio by Agent Omar Candelaria and Agent Vicente Paco. We've got a member of the Customs Service here as well. We'll be chatting with her in a little bit. But Agent Paco, back to you. As I mentioned before, you all were kind enough to allow me to spend some time on patrol, if you will, with you all. And I just can't, I mean, what a powerful, powerful thing. It's one thing to read about it or even to see movies or watch video, but when you're right there on the border fence and you talked about the, you know, using technology, and sometimes that doesn't always work. I mean, it was, we were patrolling in the Nogales sector, and it wasn't very long. We went from urban to some pretty, pretty rough terrain and right. lots of hills and valleys yes. and stuff where, you know, maybe, well, I tell you, I came away, I knew some things I was going to see on when I was out there. I knew I was going to see professionalism. I knew I was going to see dedication to the mission. Let me back up a little bit. In some of the communities I was raised in, Border Patrol was something to be afraid of. It was kind of, if you know Hispanic culture, it was kind of like the Kukui, right? Mm-hmm. But the compassion and the idea of saving lives
right.
as part of your mission was something that I'm ashamed to say I was surprised, but that's an important part of what you all do every single day.
Yeah, a reality of border, today's cross-border illegal activity when it comes to immigration is that smugglers have no regard for human life. You know, they're seeing these migrants, we're seeing migrants from all over the world, and they're being exploited for monetary gain. And one of the things that, as Border Patrol agents, we go into a situation sometimes to the unknown. You know, sometimes we might be interdicting a group of narcotic smugglers bringing in dope, or we might interdict a family group. And in some circumstances, instead of making an enforcement action, we're becoming the first responders. You know, we're there to render aid. And the agency has specialty units that are dedicated to, you know, responding to 911 calls also. So when a 911 call comes into Arizona, one of the counties, you know, Pima County, Maricopa County, Pinal, Cochise, or Santa Cruz, if the call is determined to be a distressed migrant, it gets routed out to our Joint Task Force West. It's a command center here that we have in Arizona that oversees all of the operations on the border. And they dispatch that call to the local Border Patrol station that is in charge of where that call is being originated. So in some circumstances, the public may not know, but we are the first responders in some locations.
Now, you had a very rough introduction to that. As I understand it, Agent Paco, your very first week on the job, you had there was an immigrant, I'm guessing, who was a fatality. When you talk about the different divisions, then I assume as you're looking to recruit agents, one of the disciplines you're also looking for are like EMT or medic skills, or is
exactly.
that not necessarily the case?
Well, the agency does employ, you know, EMTs and paramedics. We do also provide training for those individuals who volunteer to become paramedics and EMTs. And we have a very good program within our agency to get people certified at the state and national level. But for, you know, one of the things that we want to make sure is that those who are listening who want to apply and think that this is an opportunity for them to serve their country, there's many different facets. There's many different ways to do it within the agency. You know, you spoke about EMT programs. We have also intelligence-driven operations where, you know, we have focused our strategic operations based on, you know, the being able to, because our enemy is the smuggling networks, this transnational criminal networks. And it's like, you know, a lot of people call it a cat and mouse. I like to call it like a chess match where, mm-hmm. you know, they're countering our enforcement activity and we're trying to identify their traffic trends and pattern to counter that. You know, and we do that through intelligence gathering. So one of the things that we want is those individuals that, that are interested, obviously, that we want to make sure that they, number one, can successfully pass an academy, that they can, you know, go through a background process that, that you know, eliminates anybody that might be associated in one way or another. And it's one of, you know, it's like I said, it's a very challenging process, but it's very rewarding. One of the things that we have is when an applicant goes in through the process, they have an entrance exam, then, you know, they input their qualifications, and that's evaluated via a resume they submit online. Then after that, they go through a medical exam. They do a physical test. You know, they have to answer all, you know, going as far as back as 10 years in a background check. They have an oral board interview where it's done by a panel where they get put in different scenarios. Then, you know, one of the last things is they have a polygraph exam where, you know, they'll sit with an interviewer and they go through different questions.
Yeah, and I don't think I need to clarify for folks why that's important, but let's clarify for folks why that's important. You all have a very critical job
exactly.
protecting our nation, and so
right.
maybe part of the professionalism and the dedication I see is because you are very careful and very stringent about the person who actually gets to put on the badge.
Exactly. So it's a responsibility that comes with that because we're out there enforcing immigration law, and you know, our motto in the Border Patrol is honor first, and being able to have the best available candidates, you know, wear the uniform and take pride in wearing that uniform every day, and, you know, lacing up your boots and holstering your weapons to go out there and protect the American public. You know, it's done in the unknown sometimes. It's done by yourself. You know, and integrity plays a big part of that because we're patrolling and enforcing the law in a lot of places where it's very remote.
Do you think that that's maybe another part of the reason that you have so many veterans or folks with military experience are a good match for the Customs and Border Patrol? Because they're already bringing that discipline and that integrity
exactly.
with them to the mix.
Exactly. It's a great asset to have a prior military because, number one, the academy is going to be an easier process for them. You know, they're going to be used to, you know, marching and you know doing all the commands and all of that, and it, you know we also have a lot of benefits for veterans. You know, one of the biggest benefit, you know, that I got to starting on a career, you know, in the military you're used to a certain pay, you know, coming in as a GS5, we're making very good money, and one of the things that that helps out for veterans, you know, a GS5 right now is making around $32,000 a year entry level, you know, and a benefit from that is that, you know, if you're a veteran like myself was through the academy, you get a Montgomery GI Bill stipend
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
where we can use some of that while we're on training and after the academy too. So it helps out. We also have active duty or not active duty, but we have reservists that are still within our ranks in the Border Patrol, and there's military leave so that those reservists can do their drill weekends. You know, they get to travel to and from their duty locations while they're still within the Border Patrol. So there's a lot of benefits, you know, being a veteran within the agency.
And, you know, we're going to get about a little bit more into the details of that again with Agent Candelaria here after the break. But, Paco, I have to share, without getting into too many details, when I was out on the border with you, I got to actually witness you saving five lives. You and
right.
Literally within half an hour of the drive. And that, the compassion that I saw there was huge. And I'm a fan of history. I think if folks don't read history, we're bound to repeat it. And in preparing for the show, it's interesting. I found an article on your website talking about human trafficking in the late 19th century
mm-hmm.
and how a lot of these Chinese women immigrants were being brought in and forced into prostitution. And it was an immigration agent at the time who basically, you know, he talked to his superiors in Washington and said, look, this is out of control. We've got to do something to fix that. And the article just replete about how there again, here's someone who is charged with protecting our nation, who is also protecting the lives of these young women coming into the country. And it's a shame that scourge continues to
right.
this day, but I'm very glad that folks like you are out there helping to protect them.
One of the things that the agency has created is created the Border Safety Initiative. It's an initiative in 1998 where, with the purpose of educating the public and any listener out there, specifically to the countries where we see the most traffic from Mexico and Central America. And this is like a prevention campaign where we have, you know, an opportunity to engage with the consulates of these countries and have, you know, a campaign against, you know, illegal immigration, where Know the Facts campaign. There's no amnesty. There's no immigration policy that allows somebody to stay. If people are caught across the border, they're going to be arrested, and they're going to be, you know, depending on the circumstances, they might face some consequences before they get sent back to whatever country they're from. Smuggling, it's a reality. What you and I witnessed the day of when we went on our ride-along, it was a group of five Chinese migrants. And you can tell the smugglers left them there to their fate. You know, there was some scout activity that was seen near the area where you and I were at. And we actually witnessed two guys running away from that location.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you recall incident as we pulled up to that area of the fence.
Yeah, I got to say, we need to cut to a break here. But as we were driving away, there was a mixed group. There's women and men, and one of the women started to weep. Right. And in our vehicle, I asked, I said, do you think that was she was crying because she was afraid, or if those were tears of relief? And we all seemed to agree that that was a tough time, and now at least she felt safe. Those lives have
been
saved.
And it's because they're smuggled through different parts of the world, brought in.
Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back, folks. Your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, here on American Warrior Radio. We're talking about protecting our homeland here on the 15th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. Folks, I've got three great guests in the studio today, so we're not going to have time to take your calls. But if you do have a question or comment, give us a ring, 751-1041. Leave your note with producer Rhea, and we'll see if we can get the question to our folks here in the studio. We've got a jam-packed show, so we're not going to be able to actually take you online, but feel free to interact with us via Rhea, 751-1041. Agent Candelaria, back to you. When we're talking about, Agent Paco discussed all just the different variety of disciplines that are necessary in the Border Patrol, but he also highlighted something that I saw in my ride-alongs that I think is important to mention. You've got a lot of guard and reservists, folks whose, you know, day job, if you will, is with Customs and Border Protection, but then might serve in the Guard and Reserve part-time as part of our citizens, soldiers or sailors or Marines. The GI Bill, I didn't realize that, but basically if somebody is looking, they've only got a few years in, or they might have 4 or 10 years in the military and they're ready to transition to a different career, the GI Bill is available. And then also, what about the retirement? Is there a way where they can get the credit to make their 20 years by continuing in the federal service?
Yes, absolutely. We'll hit the GI Bill first. As long as any training that you're taking is required as a condition of employment, then you're authorized to use the GI Bill, and you can actually get paid from the Border Patrol, the regular salary, and from the GI Bill, as long as you're conducting training, whether it's at the academy or any post-academy that you're doing. And the post-academy can last up to 10 months after you graduate from the Border Patrol Academy. So, yes, GI Bill is an added benefit, an added little bit of cash that you can get while you're training with us.
Now, one thing I noticed in chatting with the pilot that was flying me during my time with Air and Marine, he was a retired Army, and it struck me as interesting. The nature of military service is that can be pretty rough on families. You're moving quite a bit. You've got deployments. And it really struck me as interesting. One of the advantages that he mentioned that he loved about this was he was able to continue to serve his country without as much disruption to his family. He's like, I'm in one place. I could have picked a number of wonderful locations throughout the country to serve, but I picked one place, and now there's some stability. I can stay here as long as I want to and keep my family here, make sure my kids graduate from high school, those sorts of things.
Yes, that's correct. One of the beautiful things I love about the Border Patrol is that you can have that stability. You know, in the military, you might have to get deployed to certain locations, but the Border Patrol, if you like the duty station you're at, that's where you can stay for the entirety of your career.
Now, we know that probably one of the best duty stations in the country is Tucson, Arizona, and, you know, the Tucson sector. But what are some, I mean, that's something else that's interesting to me. One of the gentlemen that I rode along with is now overseas. So you have opportunities not just here domestically, but there's also opportunities to travel, correct?
Absolutely. CBP has dozens of opportunities, probably hundreds of opportunities, not only in the nation, but in outside countries that you can go in and serve as a front line still to the Border Patrol or Customs and Border Protection.
Now, if folks want more information, they can visit www.cbp/careers. You need more good people, good men and women, but what can you share? What are those numbers? I mean, are we talking a couple dozen, a couple hundred, or thousands across the country right now?
Well, we're mandated to have 22,000, I believe, for Border Patrol agents, and we're not quite there at the moment. So we do have a very, very intense recruiting drive where we're trying to recruit a lot, as many people, as many qualified people as we can to fill up our numbers and make sure that we meet not just congressional requirements, but the requirements of honor and integrity that are so important to us.
So if someone is considering this, they've heard the show or they've been thinking about it for a while now, now is the time. I mean, the opportunities are available now, correct?
Absolutely. There's a lot of opportunity. We have open announcements, not just for Border Patrol, but for Customs and Border Protection officers and for Air and Marine officers that anybody can apply, and it'd be good. It'd be good to have you.
Okay. Well, folks, you know, when I started the program, I talked about, I referenced green, blue, and brown. That doesn't mean that we've got, you know, Martians serving and protecting our border. Those colors reference the different disciplines within the Customs and Border Protection. Green is Border Patrol. Now we're going to talk a little bit about blue. We're joined by, tell me if I get this right, Kelly, Customs and Border Protection Agent Kelly Orsu.
It's Customs and Border Protection Officer Kelly Orsu. Yeah. So I'm an officer, and then in blue we're officers, and green they're agents.
Didn't I tell you folks that Ben screws up at least once a show? There it is. Thank you very much, Kelly. Kelly, but you're the custom sides of it. You're the blue side of it.
Correct.
And I did get to spend some time observing as well down at both the DeConcini as well as up in the Mariposa port. I threw out some statistics at the beginning of the show about the tonnage of interdiction that you guys have, and if anybody spends any time at all at Mariposa and sees those trucks going in and out all day long, I mean, that's a huge, huge task, and that falls under your jurisdiction.
Correct. So at the ports of entry, especially where you were at Mariposa and at DeConcini is just primarily passenger processing, meaning everybody that's coming into the country is going to be touched by CBP. They're going to encounter a primary officer, an officer in blue. We're going to be asking them, who are you? Show me your paperwork. What's your citizenship? And what are you bringing with you? At Mariposa, it's split in two. You have passenger processing, and then you also have our trade operations where you're seeing the big 18-wheelers, the big trucks that are coming through. On a daily basis, CBP, we process, I think you mentioned around 67,000 containers. And we have quite a bit of containers that do come through the Nogales port of entry. So when you're at the store and you're buying a watermelon that came from Mexico, that most likely came through the Nogales port of entry.
And what's interesting to me is I'm guessing that your role in Customs and Border Protection, that's something that's not necessarily limited to the borders. I mentioned all those international airports. Pretty much any place international traffic is coming into the United States of America, you have someone there, correct? So, I mean, someone could be in, I don't know, Des Moines or someplace like that, right?
Correct. Any international airport, seaport, or land borders, there's over 300 of them. There's about, I think, 327 approximately that we are assigned to nationwide. And then as it was touched on earlier about the overseas opportunities, we're at over 50 ports of entry worldwide. So, yeah, so our footprint, not just, you know, it's not just in the nation, within the nation, it expands out worldwide.
Now, you're a veteran as well. What branch did you serve
Army.
In?
Army.
Okay,
Guard.
There you go. Lots of great veterans here. I tell you, again, I've got to come back and we'll spend a little more time with you after the break, but the dedication I saw, one of the agents I got to meet down on the border, he said growing up it was his, he just wanted to catch drug dealers, and he's doing it, and apparently, from what I could see, he's very, very good at it. But a lot of us out there think just about the contraband coming north or coming into our country. But what I saw, what I hadn't thought about, is you're also protecting, in this case, the people of Mexico by preventing things going south that shouldn't be allowed into the country, like perhaps weapons or cash or things of that nature, correct?
Correct. So the flow of things go, you see narcotics coming north, and then south, outbound, you see weapons and money leaving the country. So we do have our operations for northbound for incoming traffic. It's 100%. For outbound operations, it's not 100%, but we definitely try to use enough resources as we can to be able to interdict as much that's leaving the country, and that's going to harm other countries too.
Absolutely, and I've got to tell you that, God bless you folks, because some of the creative methods I was shown that people are using to try and smuggle things in and out of this country, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's scary, amazing.
It is scary, but you do have to realize, too, there's only so many ways you can load a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've seen extremes of the drive shaft being filled with liquid meth. You name it. It's happened. They line coolers, things that they're actually bringing in the vehicles, too. We also have internal carriers as well. So
internal carriers meaning?
At the airports, you'll see some that actually, they're swallowers. Swallow balloons that are filled with narcotics. At the ports of entry, I've actually intercepted individuals that have inserted things into their bodies. So, yeah, you see a lot of, I guess you could say it's creativity, but it's very sad. It's very unfortunate situations that we encounter sometimes.
Now, if I decide that this is a career for me, do I get to choose? Do I say I want to be Border Patrol, I want to be Customs, I want to be Air and Marine, or do I tell you right off the bat and that dictates what kind of training I get?
Yes. Yeah, so when you apply on USA Jobs, so if you go to our website, cbp.gov, it'll link you to USA Jobs to apply. You have to apply for that actual position, and there'll be one that's strictly for Customs and Border Protection Officer, one that's for Border Patrol Agent, one for Air Interdiction Agent, and one for Marine Interdiction Agent.
Okay, folks, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. I'm joined live in studio by three members of the Customs and Border Protection, protecting our homeland. And when we come back, Kelly, I'd like to talk about two of my favorite employees I met during my time at Mariposa, the Bug Nerds and the Fuzzy Agents, the Canine Squad. Your folks, Ben Bueller Garcia, stick around. We'll be right back.
My daddy served in the Army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free.
If you want to discuss those who serve the red, white, and blue, dial 520-751-1041. Now, back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back, folks. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, here on American Warrior Radio. On the 15th anniversary of September 11th, we're talking about those men and women who are protecting the homeland today. And we're back with Agent Kelly Ursu, who is with the Customs part of Customs and Border Protection, or BLUE, as you all call it. Kelly, part of my goal here today was for people to understand just the diversity of the mission. And I kind of smile when I say this, and with all due respect to them, I refer to them as bug nerds. But the agricultural part of this, you literally have got folks with PhDs down there making sure that the food and the crops and everything that's coming into the country is the way it should be, correct?
Absolutely correct. So not only do we work with the FDA, but we do have agriculture specialists that are employed by CBP. And they are working alongside us, especially in our trade operations. You'll see them, and they are inspecting, actually going into the containers and inspecting the food that's coming in and ensuring that it's free of any pests or any diseases that could be harmful to our country. If you just think about it, like the citrus fruit fly, for example, mm-hmm. and that's a fly that's you find in Mexico. And if that gets into our crop, if that were to get to Florida or get into California orange trees, that then in turn will affect what your orange juice, the sales of orange juice, and the price of it. And the cost to eradicate these bugs and pests is just phenomenal. So it's really important that we have these agriculture specialists alongside us to make sure that we prevent these kind of things are intercepted and interdicted before they even get into the country.
You know, I'd be willing to bet that some of the listeners, when I read your mission statement at the beginning of the program and I mentioned, you know, the nation's global economic competitiveness, they probably said, whoa. But this is a perfect mm-hmm. example of that. I mean, we export a lot of crops and also bring in a lot of agriculture, and something like that a lot of us don't pay much attention to, like a fruit fly, could mm-hmm. be devastating. And that means jobs. It means people's health. It means a lot of important stuff.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about our furry partners. Probably one of the more fun parts. was I got to walk through the kennels there at very loud 5 minutes, by the way. What wonderful animals. But you also, to a great extent, use canine handlers, both when it comes for agricultural and drug interdiction, but also out in the field as far as Border Patrol, correct?
Correct. So Border Patrol has canines, and Customs Border Protection officers, we have canines as well. You'll see Border Patrol agents there typically are trained on both for human and also for narcotics, because that's one of their primary missions is the human aspect. For us, it's pretty much it's for contraband, and then they add the culture aspect too.
Now, is that one of the areas where, I mean, from talking to Agent Paco, I got the impression that you get good people, and then you either incorporate the skills they already bring to in the case of Air and Marine, maybe a pilot, they know how to fly helicopters or aircraft. But then for your canine handlers, an example, is that, do they necessarily need that kind of experience coming in, or they just have to have a passion to serve and you'll provide them the training they need?
That's the one thing that I love about this agency, is that we will train you on anything. So even if you do not have the experience and you have a passion for it, we'll train you on it. You just have to apply for it.
Okay, great. Agent Candelaria, coming back to you, I'm actually, folks, during the break I asked how old you had to be to actually join, and I'm too old. But these are some great, important careers, protecting our country on all levels. But also great, I mean, there's real benefits that we talked about, part of which is, and I was surprised to hear this, but one doesn't necessarily need a college degree to become an agent, correct?
And that is correct. Regarding the age, yes, there is no college degree required to be a Border Patrol agent or CBP officer. Age-wise, the general public can apply up to age 40, and if you're a veteran, you can apply any age. So you're welcome to apply. Any veterans welcome to apply any age, and general public, age 40. Agent Paco mentioned a little bit about the starting salaries. If you start at a GS-5, you're looking at $32,000 a year. That's just starting salary. Our journeyman level is a GS-12, which is $71,000 a year. So within 5 years, you'll be making $71,000 a year as base pay, plus the additional benefits that come with us. With Border Patrol, it's the Border Patrol Pay Reform Act, and Customs and Border Protection, and the Air and Marine guys have their overtime structures. So the pay benefits are extremely well. The benefits for retirement is another thing I wanted to talk about. Our retirement is falls under the Federal Employee Retirement System. If you're a veteran, you're able to buy back your military time, so you can credit that time, and it'll be added on to your service to Customs and Border Protection. So if you have 5, 8, 10 years of military time, then you can add that to your 20-plus years of CBP time, and it's 1% per year additional. So it's a great benefit.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that. We were talking off the air about my brother's situation, where he had to leave the Air Force a few years short of his full retirement, but he's involved in other federal services with the VA. So this is a great option, particularly for someone who is military trained, you know, relatively young, might have 5, 10 years in. And this is a way just to sort of wrap that up in a nice package and still to be able to support your family and yourself, correct?
Absolutely, yes. You're able to buy back that military time. It's a very small deposit. Any agent or officer that you talk to can tell you about it. It's three, depending on when you served, it's the max that you're going to pay is 3.4. But if you served from 2001 to present, it's only 3% of what you were paid during that time. It's not a complicated process to buy it back, and it's definitely worth it when you look at the end of your career and you're going to get your retirement back.
Are there any benefits, direct benefits, that someone in the military might get coming in? I mean, can I skip the academy? I'm joking, obviously, but I mean, are there benefits? I mean, other than the financial benefits, but particularly if you're looking for special disciplines like pilots, or maybe some of the intelligence folks.
Absolutely. I did mention the GI Bill benefits that you're able to accrue while you're doing training. Additionally, annual leave. Your time in service counts to your accruing of annual leave. So from 1 year to 5 years of federal service, which includes military, you get 4 hours of annual leave per pay period. And if you have more than 5 years, up to 15 years, you get 6 hours of annual leave per pay period. And after 15 years, you get 8 hours of annual leave per pay period. And a pay period is every 2 weeks. So you can accrue a lot more, obviously a lot more annual leave if you have more federal time, which includes your military time. So if you've got more than 5 years as in your service, of military service, then automatically you're going to start making more annual leave per pay period.
So to wrap this up into a nice, pretty little bow, these are great careers. You need good people. But I want to kind of go through each of you. What's come clear to me is the passion and the dedication to your service. Kelly, let's start with you. What's important to you about serving in the Customs Service?
I got into the Customs Service back in 2002. My father actually served as a canine handler, and that's where I learned and was educated on what really goes on the border. We lived in Tucson the whole time, and I didn't actually really see what was going on. And once he educated me on what was going on, I decided to, okay, you know what, I'll go ahead and apply. And after seeing the dedication of these men and women out there and what they do, and seeing what impact we are making on protecting our country, that just motivated me right there. Because I was finishing up my degree in accounting, no less. I thought I was going to be an accountant.
Okay.
And
not quite like a bug nerd, but yeah, pretty close.
Exactly. But then I loved it. I loved it, okay. And I stuck with it. And there's no better job out there that you can make over $100,000 after 5 years without even having a degree.
Okay. So, Agent Paco?
Well, one of the things that, like I mentioned before, is serving the homeland. And you know, I come from a family that has served in the military since the Korean War, from my grandfather to lost an uncle in Vietnam. My dad was, you know, active Navy. Two of my brothers were Navy. You know, I was Navy. So then now me and my brother serve the federal government. One works for the VA. Another one works for the U.S. Marshals, and I work for the Border Patrol. So it's part of our family culture, you know, to serve our country and you know, to have a career that you can do it in the homeland and go home at the end of the day, you know, and be able to still make a difference one way or another, you know. If we all did our little part as agents, you know, we have a better situation on and control on what's coming across and identifying all those.
Okay, Agent Candelaria, 15 seconds.
Yes,
pressure.
My father was a Vietnam veteran. My brother and I both served in the armed forces. For me, it's an honor and a privilege to put on this uniform every day and see how it is that I impact the community and make sure that it's safer, not just for ourselves, but for our children. My two daughters, my two beautiful daughters, everything I do for them.
Wonderful. Well, I tell you, Agent Ursu, Agent Candelaria, Agent Paco, thank you so much for what you do for our country and continue to do. Folks, if you want to learn more, visit cbp.gov/careers and find out about this great opportunity. Thanks for tuning in, folks. You can find us, AmericanWarriorRadio.com, on Facebook, American Warrior Radio. Follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, Pod Fanatic, Player FM. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, all policies and procedures that remain in place. Take care.